Hello, this is Dennis Thomas from Holiday Community Fellowship Church. As we continue our journey in the book of Revelation, we're going to be looking at the first six verses of chapter 6 of Revelation today. And before we do that though, let's have a prayer. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful for this glorious day. We're thankful that your word has been preserved for us for such a time as this. And Lord, as we look around in this world today, we know that your appearing is soon to come. But until that day arrives, help us, Lord, to be faithful in seeking and searching what it is that you would have for us as your people. As we continue in this book that you have given to us, the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, let us hear his voice. Let us see him, Lord, and let us obey and trust him. We thank you and we praise you. We ask, Lord, you be merciful according to your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 6 actually deals with what is known as the four horsemen. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 actually describes that. So we are going to read that in its entirety. So we'll have just kind of an overview of what's going on here. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he was set on it, had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it was granted to take place peace from the earth. And that men would slay one another. And a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beast of the earth. May the Lord grant us mercy and understanding as we have read his word. As we near the end of the second millennium of Christian history, there are many signs of apparent calm around us. The Cold War is over. Communism is no longer a threat. Israel is entering into peace with the Palestinians, Jordan with Syria. Yet most of us are still uneasy. We sense there is a storm on the horizon. The Bible has long predicted a worldwide crisis, and in Revelation 6, we begin to see the crisis take shape. We must begin really with an understanding of this, the days and the weeks they talk about. Daniel describes a great calendar in his ninth chapter. So the ninth chapter of Daniel describes this calendar. On this calendar is a period of 70 weeks. Each week, we're going to go through seven of these weeks. Each week is 7 year period. The 70 weeks would be 490 years total. The 490 years would begin with the building of the wall in Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah and go to the end of the age. Of the 490 years, 483 years would end on the day of Messiah and would be presented as king of Israel. On that day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, where the crowds hailed him as a king, the first Palm Sunday. Later that week, he was rejected and crucified. And you can read about that as Daniel prophesied in chapter 9, 26. Following an indeterminate period of time, a time of catastrophic upheaval, and during this time, the church is born. The church has existed for almost 2,000 years. Its task is nearly completed. Daniel then tells of events that will occur in the last week of that 490-year period. They have not yet occurred. They lie in the future and are extremely closely associated with the nation of Israel. Jesus refers to those events in Matthew 24 when he calls it the end of the age. It is this seven-year period that comprises the fascinating and frightening series of events we will explore in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. This seven-year period is characterized by three series of events. The first is the seven seals. The second is the seven trumpets. And the third is the seven bowls of wrath. So first, the seven seals begins with the four horsemen. The first seal, a rider on a white horse, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw when the Lamb broke out one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come!" I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and conquering. Some identify him, this one on the white horse, with Jesus, because in Revelation 19, Jesus appears on a white horse. But it is a mistake to identify the rider in chapter 6 of Revelation with the one in chapter 19 of Revelation. The context is entirely different, and there are important differences in the way the two are described. In chapter 6, the rider is given a crown. In 19, the rider is given many crowns. The rider in chapter 6 is summoned by one of the creatures with a command. It is unthinkable that the conquering Christ would be summoned by a lesser creature. However, there are similarities between the two. Both are crowned, both are bent on conquest. This suggests that the rider in chapter 6 is someone who is like Christ in some ways, but is not Christ. Who could that be? The rider in chapter 6 must be the Antichrist, who is to appear in the last days. Paul describes him in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12, and I think it's worth reading. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Beginning in verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a messenger or a letter as if from us, to effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now, so that in this time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is always at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Praise be to the reading of his word. So we see here, how will he conquer? First, he is given a bow, but no arrows. This suggests a bloodless conquest. He will overpower the minds and the wills of human beings, which is being seen almost daily in our lives. We listen to all kinds of other humans and other creatures, but we don't listen to God. He will not by force, but by deceit, by lying and misleading people. We live in such a deceiving and lying time that if we don't stay near the truth of God, we will be deceived. Jesus warned in Matthew 24th chapter, the 4th verse, watch out that no one deceives you. I love that he keeps reminding us that, especially as the day draws near of his coming, because we must be cautious. We must guard ourselves not to be deceived. As we see all the forces of persuasion and deception at work in the world today, it is not hard to believe that we are approaching the last days. In our own society, we see the deception of the mass media. Boy, isn't that truth? They call it, what do they call it now? They call it fake news now. That we see the deception of mass media. We see the deception in politics. What they proclaim to be truth is a lie. It's deception. We see illicit sex everywhere. Our children are being exploited and used. I just read a report the other day about just the human trafficking, how our kids are being exploited sexually, and it's like nothing to people. They care nothing about the value of our children. But why should we think they would, especially as they kill the most innocent of all, which is a child in the womb? We see drugs running rampant. I just heard the other day of a person not far from the church here who just went back into the woods and just injected in drugs into his body, and he perished. We live in a time of new age thinking and thought, like everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to be lost. We see a cult after a cult. Almost all churches today have some bent to them in some direction, but we must guard ourselves against those things that persuade us to turn away from Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And of course, we still have people that does palm reading and astrology, and they look at their horoscopes. We are a lost generation being deceived by men. The first conquest of evil in the last days is when God takes all the restraints off of evil and lets deception have its way. That sounds like today. It appears to me that God has released all the restraints upon human condition today, and they're just acting any way they want to. And he says that. He takes away the restraints. He takes away all the restraints and lets evil have its way and deception with us. The second seal that is talked about here talks about a rider on a red horse. That's verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given him. The rider is easy to recognize. He is war. But the form of war is not just opposing armies as we think about it today. It is raw slaughter, civil anarchy, which is evident in our even in our streets today. It is the breakdown of social order. Look what's going on in this nation today, in the cities like New York and Portland and Chicago. It is anarchy. It is breaking down. The whole thing is just seems to be coming apart. There's civil anarchy. It is the breakdown of the social order. When mobs, take that. Now listen about that. When mobs take to the streets and begin killing with abandon, they have no consciousness whatsoever. They just kill randomly. We already see faint echoes of this in our world today, don't we? It's not nothing new. We see it all the time. Don't be deceived by it. John's description of the destruction he foresaw was the image of a large sword. Did you get that? It's the image of a large sword. A large sword is a powerful weapon of destruction. They've been fighting with swords for centuries, and they still do fight with swords. It is possible that the Bible speaks of a monstrous war fought with the weapons of mass destruction which we have stockpiled around the world. We must confess that we are better equipped for killing people than we have ever been before. We are better equipped at killing people than we are at saving lives. The third seal is a rider on a black horse. Verses 5 and 6 speaks of that. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not damage the oil and the wine." He talks here about a third seal. This third seal, once it's broken, reveals a rider on a black horse who says, "Come." Most scholars see this rider as widespread famine on the earth. Widespread famine. Already in nations like Africa and India, famine is evident and prevalent. And who knows that it will not affect our nation as well. The scales on this vision symbolizes food being carefully weighed because it is in short supply and must be rationed. That's what he's talking about. A denarius is like a day's work. He's saying that it'd take a whole day's work just to get a little bit of wheat. A quart of wheat. Do you know what a quart is? It's like a 32 ounces of wheat for an entire day's wage. That's what you'd be able to buy. The day's wages buy only a quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley, enough to feed just one person. So if you've got a household of 6 people, and it takes you a whole day's wage just to buy enough for one person, not going to be a very good time. However, famine is mentioned in the fourth seal, so there is another possible explanation of this rider. It represents economic upheaval. It represents inflation, the possibility of recession, and most certainly the possibility of panic. We're panicking now over a COVID disease we cannot see. What about if our money that we do see disappears? Runaway inflation renders money as worthless. Oh my goodness. How would we react if today we went out and they said, "Well, your money is no good here"? We'd go crazy. Such as seen in Russia over the past few years. Russia has had terrible times of inflation where their money was worth nothing. It took a wheelbarrow of money just to buy a loaf of bread. This kind of inflation may very well be the justification, the Antichrist will use to impose rigid controls over buying and selling, as we will see in Revelation chapter 13. The fourth seal, a rider on a pale horse, verse 7 and 8. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with famine, and with pestilence, and by the wild beast of the earth. Wow, I don't want to be here for that. The fourth seal, a rider on a pale horse. This rider is named Death. So remember that. This pale horse, this fourth seal that's broken, reveals a pale horse, and its rider is named Death, followed closely by Hades, which in Scripture, Hades actually means hell, which follows closely by hell. So anything that's in the path of this rider is going to hell. Death takes the body, and Hades takes the soul. So death, he brings death unto us, those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He brings death to the body, and then the soul goes to hell. There are four forms of death mentioned in this judgment, and I want to share those with you. First, the sword refers not to war, but to murder. You understand? Not just to war, but to murder. The deadly assault of one individual upon another. We see it breaking out in the streets of America even today. I was watching some news the other day, and I thought I was watching a third world country tearing itself apart. It looks so much like that. But I want to tell you that God is in control, and He loves His people. The deadly assault of one individual upon another, people will take the law and vengeance in their own hands. The second is famine and widespread starvation. We have all seen pictures on TV of what this will be like. Haven't we seen that before? I watched a program last night, was talking about survivors of the Holocaust. They're still survivors of the Holocaust, and they live in squalors and in places that's remote that we know nothing about, and they're starving. They have no clothes and barely places to live. It's absolutely awful. We have all seen pictures of this. We all know it exists. Third comes devastation by plague. A plague is an epidemic, a wildly spreading disease. You might even call it a pandemic, or you might even name it something like COVID-19. When civilization crumbles, our defense against disease crumbles as well. You hear what I'm saying? As our civilization crumbles, our defense against disease crumbles as well. We have no people coming together to try to come up with ways to protect us. When there is no safe sanitation, for instance, no safe drinking water, not enough food, disease like cholera, typhoid, and dysentery, COVID-19 spread like a consuming fire. Compound all this that's just been mentioned with the horrors of modern biological warfare and plagues like AIDS and SARS and COVIDs. That's where we're at, people. That's where we're at. The enemy is at the wall. The enemy is at the wall. Fourth, he describes wild beasts. Humans become prey to predatory creatures. We take care of all our animals, our dogs, our cats, or all those things. Guess what? When things come apart, people are starving, you have no food, guess what the animals are doing? They're starving too. And guess what they do? They become predatory. And don't think they won't turn on you. They will. Wild beasts, humans become prey to predatory creatures. It talks about 1/4 of the world's population is destroyed. The world population is roughly around 8 billion people now. Can you imagine that? 8 billion people? And it says 1/4 of it? That means 2 billion people will be destroyed. These people will die. Or it's approximately like the size of China, the whole population of China and the U.S. combined, all put together, combined together, because of what's going on. This beast that's been released. And I can't imagine it. 2 billion people just destroyed. These four judgments are references to forces already at work in our society. And don't think that they're not. They are. The only difference is in the last days, they will be carried out on an unprecedented extreme. I want to take you to look at Romans chapter 1. It's one of those passages of scriptures in Romans that every time I read it, I see myself in it, and I have to go and repent because I feel so bad about everything that I've read. Beginning in verse 24 of Romans, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It goes on, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their errors. And just as they did not fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. We give approval to those who do those things. We laugh, we're entertained by it, by through movies and media. We look at violence and sexual perversion on TV, and we laugh at it, we give over to it. God forgive us, God forgive us. If people choose to believe a lie, then God will send them a powerful delusion. If men and women seek to kill and destroy, then God will give them anarchy. If we demand more luxury to gratify our lust, then God will give an economy, upheaval, and inflation that is the result of greed and immorality. If humanity demands power and control, they will receive the brutal end of unrestrained power, murder, disease, and desolation upon the earth. Do you hear the sound approaching? Do you hear the hoofbeats? We will stop today of our study. I hope that is brought some sense of reality to us as we face uncertain times. I pray that we stay the course, that we never give up, that we always trust and believe that Jesus is our King and we bow to no other. And help us, Lord, not to be deceived. Father God, thank you for this time to study. Thank you, Lord, for your precious words. And even though they are difficult to talk about and difficult to consider, and oftentimes they are just ignored by us, but Lord, help us to be mindful that all that you write in your word will come to pass. I thank you for these moments we've had with these precious people. I ask, Lord, that you bless them, honor them, and be merciful unto them according to thy loving kindness. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.